Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. And the word of God for our meditation today is based on the Old Testament lesson from Genesis 32. I'll just remind you of these verses, 26 to 28. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Heavenly Father, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I am ashamed to confess that when I was younger and more foolish, I enjoyed professional wrestling on TV. Obviously contrived. The works are all stage managed. And yet it was entertaining, wasn't it? It was quite good fun. And I had the privilege of watching Murray Wiedemann become a pro wrestler when I was vicaring in Melbourne in 1962. In case you don't know who Murray Wiedemann is, he was a great, renowned footballer for Collingwood and for Victoria. But it was a poor mismatch when he joined the professional ranks. He didn't do much good. He wasn't as good on the wrestling ring as he was on the football field. It was pretty poor, actually. And we come across another strange wrestling match in the Old Testament lesson for today, don't we? It's strange because it's a wrestling match between friends, in which the weaker overcomes the stronger. It's a match between Jacob and God. And today we want to discover, hopefully, how God was able to use that wrestling match, that very strange wrestling match, to bless Jacob. I said hopefully because it's a rather strange passage from the Old Testament, isn't it? And I've heard a few sermons over the years from the time I was a young kid. I always went away not really understanding what it was all about. And you may leave that same way today. But I'll give it my best shot. We find Jacob on his way home from Mesopotamia. He's been living there for 20 years now with his uncle and his father-in-law, Laban. And one day God instructed him, "Jacob, it's time to go home. Time to return to Canaan and to your father Isaac." I think Jacob was pretty excited about that. And you can imagine him packing up everything, getting all his servants and flocks together and setting off on that long journey to the land of Canaan. However, as he drew closer to the land of Canaan, he became more and more anxious. He began wondering, "What sort of reception will I receive from my brother Esau? When I left 20 years ago, he wanted to kill me. I wonder if he still feels like that." And sure enough, a messenger comes to Jacob and tells him, "Your brother Esau is coming out to greet you. And he's got 400 armed men with him." Just imagine Jacob wondering, is my brother coming out with love in his heart or with a lance in his hand? Well, Jacob had a pretty good idea. They arrived at the river Jabbok. Being a trickster, as we know, he decided to divide everything, his company, into two groups, separate them, so that if his brother Esau did attack them, at least one band would possibly escape. He sent them over the river under the cover of darkness, and he remained behind to pray, to plead with God to protect him and his retinue. While he's praying, a stranger jumps on him and begins wrestling with him. Talk about poor timing. He had enough on his plate without having to expend his energy and his time wrestling with a stranger. Where was God when he needed him? Where was God? He was wrestling with Jacob. Talk about a mismatch. At this time, Jacob was 99 years old. A 99-year-old man wrestling with God. the Creator, the Almighty, the Omnipotent. What a match. And of course, if God wanted to, he could have ended it just like that with a flick of his fingers or his wrist. But the fact that he didn't crush the life out of Jacob tells us something. It tells us that Jacob was still God's friend. God had a special job for Jacob. He chose Jacob already when he was in his mother's womb to be an ancestor of his son Jesus Christ, who would come into the world as the Messiah. Jacob was very special to God. And when he's fleeing from his brother, God comes to him and assures him that he would go with him and would protect him, and he would one day return to possess the land of Canaan. And then when he gets to Mesopotamia and works for his uncle, God blesses him richly, bountifully, even though his father-in-law was trying to rip him off. And then as they reach the river, God sends a contingent of angels to him to assure him that he has nothing to worry about, that God will fight for him. You can just imagine Jacob asking the question, because he doesn't know who he's wrestling with at this stage. Well, where is God? Why isn't he fighting for me? How about you? Do you ever feel as though God puts you in a headlock sometimes? You feel powerless and weak and useless, not knowing which way to turn, wondering, what on earth is God doing with me? Has God ever used something to put you on your back so that all you can do is look up at the hospital ceiling from your bed for days or even weeks on end? You name it. But take heart. While God wrestles with us in various ways, he always wrestles with us as a father. God knows exactly how fragile we are, and the last thing he wants to do is to extinguish our faith. So that's one of the reasons why he wrestles with us, to increase our faith, to strengthen our faith, to encourage us to trust in him more and more. Remember what he told the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And how God's power is made perfect in weakness is illustrated beautifully in that wrestling match that Jacob found himself in. At one point, you see God touches Jacob's hip and dislocates it. And now all poor old Jacob can do is hang on for grim death. And hang on he did. He refused to let go. God said, "Let me go, Jacob." And he said, "No, not until you bless me." How God must have loved that response. God loves it when we cling to his promises. In fact, that's why one of the reasons why he wrestles with us from time to time, so that we will be moved to plead for his presence, for his power, for his healing, for his strength, for his blessings which he so desperately wants to give us. Well, God did bless Jacob. He gave Jacob a new name. No longer would he only be known as Jacob, which literally means trickster or deceiver. And that's a good name for Jacob, as we know. But now he is to be also known as Israel, which literally means the one who contends with God and wins. Clearly, Jacob has come a long way in his faith walk. Once, you see, he relied on his own cleverness, his own trickery, his own deviousness, his own strength to get ahead. In this wrestling match with God, he's learnt a very important lesson. He now recognises that he is dependent upon God totally and completely for everything, that God is always in control. From now on, Jacob will rely only on his God. God wants to do the same for us, you know. He will use all sorts of things to encourage us to trust in him, to hang on to him, to rely on him, and under all circumstances. He can use a loss in the family. He can use an accident. He can use a virus. He can use a cranky boss. You name it. Anything that will encourage us to turn to God, wrestle with him for his blessings. It's not much fun wrestling with God. Sometimes all we can do is just hang on, like Jacob did. But that's okay. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to cling to his promises and to boldly remind him, "Lord, you made me your own in baptism. You adopted me as your own. You put me in your family. You promised to go with me to uphold me. You promised that you would use everything in my life, no matter how bad it is, for my spiritual blessing. And I'm going to hold you to that promise. As someone has said, God loves it when his children come to him with such boldness, and he delights to let us win, you know, victories over him on the basis of humble, believing prayer. So whatever the cross, whatever the circumstances, Jacob would say, hang on to God, whatever. That day Jacob didn't only leave with a new name, he also left with a limp. Seems likely he limped for the rest of his life. What a reminder to him how much he needed and depended upon God, how God's strength is made perfect in weakness. That poor old Jacob couldn't even run away from his brother if he wanted to. He couldn't run anymore. He would have to rely on God instead to ensure that his meeting with his brother would go well. And it did go well. The two brothers came together, and Jacob was humble and contrite. Boy, what a change. And Esau was forgiving. He even offered Jacob some of his men to protect his property as he made his way further down the track towards Canaan. But Jacob by this time had learnt his lesson. He knew that it was crazy trying to rely on himself, on his own cleverness, his own wisdom, his own strength, even on his brother's armed men. He had God on his side. God was with him, and that's all he needed. Jacob had come a long way. Thanks to that wrestling match, taught him to hang on to God. Took Jacob 99 years to reach that maturity of faith. This tells us something about God, don't you think? Doesn't it tell us that God is very patient with us miserable so-and-sos? He stuck with Jacob through thick and thin, even though he didn't deserve it. And he sticks with us too, even when we let him down. That's the kind of God he is. He does whatever it takes. He'll even wrestle with us to help us mature in our faith. But hopefully it won't take us 99 years. Whatever, God will stick with us through thick and thin. And he assures us of this, of the new name that he's given us. In baptism, we've given the name Christian, Christ's own, which means that God is for us forever. So the bottom line surely is this from this wrestling match, that we are encouraged by the Holy Spirit always to cling to God for everything, for all the things that we need, from forgiveness for our sins to our daily bread. God will provide them. That's his promise to his children. Look what he did for Jacob. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds always in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.